God, let's have a seat. Good evening and welcome to the first Bible study for the year 2025. Glory to God. We want to look at praying God's will, praying God's will. And, you know, we come up with titles to sort of explain or capture what we sense God wants us to focus on per time. So sometimes that part two looks like a title we have used before. Well, the emphasis really is not the title. The emphasis is on the substance that we sense that God wants us to focus on per time. And the season that we're in, I seem to have been picking up right from the month of December that we're in a year where personal devotion is something that is going to be indispensable this season. Your personal walk with God, when it comes to your personal fellowship with God, because as a child of God, there's some things you're not going to be able to get away with when it comes to the generality of things that people do. In other words, copying somebody else, this season is not going to work. You will have to hear directly. You'll have to know what God wants you to do. You'll have to move from the general to the specifics. And this is kind of season for it. So we're looking at praying God's will. We're looking at God's word all over again. So let's just lay foundation as we begin to explore along this line. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 15. It says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's for teaching, for reproof. The word reproof means evidence. That's for conviction. That is to bring about a persuasion. All right, so all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, that's sound doctrine, for evidence or for reproof, for correction and what? Instruction in righteousness. Instruction in what is right. Instruction in what is right. In other words, the way things are, not just the way things appear. So there are instructions concerning the way things are, that the man of God be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And if you go all the way back to verse 14, it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Before he now says, and that from the child you have known the holy scriptures. So holy scriptures obviously is a reference to Genesis to Malachi. So Jesus taught from the holy scriptures, and the holy scriptures, Paul summarizes that, how do I interpret the whole Bible? There must be a bias I must have when I go into the scriptures. If I don't go into the scriptures with that kind of bias, I may come up with different kinds of interpretation. But if I go into scriptures with that bias, already I know what to look for. I know there's a thread that runs through Genesis to Malachi, which Jesus came to give substance to and to explain. There's a thread. So the Holy Scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. Paul says concerning Timothy, who is a teacher of teachers and a pastor of pastors, he says, those scriptures are able to make you wise. The word wise in the Greek is the word sophizo, which means sophistication. You become skilled. In other words, once you know that salvation, true faith which is in Christ, is a hymn or the endpoint of scripture, when you're reading, you read it without bias. And when you know that salvation through faith in Christ Jesus is majorly about the Father and his family, it gives you a totally different approach to God entirely. So the scriptures are to be approached with one thing in mind. Salvation is a theme. And salvation, particularly with emphasis on faith through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's important. Now again, go to 1 Timothy. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I read from verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of who? God, who is our Savior. Notice that. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So again, one more time, look at the emphasis. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men. So the will of God is that all men should be saved. The provision for the salvation of all men has been made by God. And that provision is a pointer to his will. So God's will is that all men should be saved. Again, this is the bias I take into the scriptures. So when I'm reading Genesis Malachi, now that I know that the explanation of Genesis Malachi is that God will have all men to be saved. When I see men destroyed at one time or the other, I know that's not God's perfect will. Why? The will of God is that all men should be saved and should come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, what will enable men to come to know that truth? I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Can you see that now? So notice there is a bridge between what God will and what will happen. There's what God will, there's what will happen. There's a provision God made for what he has willed, and there is what men need to do to make those provisions manifest or available for others to receive. Why? We're dealing with God and men. And this already tells, lets you know that any prayer that you and I pray that leaves all the responsibility of manifestation to God, I heard the man of God once say that is an irresponsible prayer. That leaves all the responsibility of manifestation up to God, that is an irresponsible prayer. Because here he gives you certain fundamental keys. Again, he is calling God our Savior. So God's character is salvation. God saves. That's God's primary will. When you don't see that salvation in operation, that's not God's will. Something is being made manifest, but it's not God's will. In other words, God will have all men. And when he says all men here, he covers everyone. He will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? That God is a Savior. Hallelujah. That's the truth. That God is a Savior. God is not a killer. God is a Savior. And so, Paul is advising Timothy with respect to those who are members of the church at Ephesus, who are members of his church. I exhort, therefore, I encourage that, first of all, now, first of all is also important because the word first means of primary importance. This is the order. This is the primary order. This is what should be put above all things. So make this high priority. Let there be supplications, let there be prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. In other words, God's saving grace is able to find expression when this first rule is applied. So when we are supplicating and we're praying, we're interceding with giving of thanks, we are ensuring that the character of God as Savior will come abroad to all men. That's important. It will come abroad to all men. You know, many times we forget the fact that it is very difficult for you to see God as Savior and refuse and reject salvation. You have to be influenced or helped, or the eyes of your understanding must be blinded, or Satan has taken control by blinding your mind. So these keys here and there, or these clues here and there that we have in scriptures, is already instructing us that when we don't see God as Savior in operation, it's not because God has changed character, it's because certain things are not in place that need to be in place, because God won't change. So if we're not seeing the proof of God as Savior, it's not because he's not Savior, it's because likely there's not enough supplication and prayers and intercession. So already it tells you the place of prayer. Let me say it again. Does God want men to be saved? Yes. Will men be automatically saved? The answer is no. So what role does man play in God's plan of salvation? This is one of the fundamental reasons why we pray. Hallelujah. Why we pray. Has God paid the price? Yes. Look at verse 4. He says, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man one, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So there's a ransom in place. There's a price already paid to ensure that God's character as Savior may be experienced by all men. So what is left, therefore, after God has made that provision? It is that you and I should pray. Now, let me say it this way. We are not praying for God to make provision. We're praying because God has made provision. And that's very important. We're not praying for God to make provision. We're praying because God has made provision. In fact, we're praying in the light of the provision that God has made. I think it was Charles G. Finney that spoke about the fact that in the days, and they said, I think from the time of before he came around, he had the highest number of conversions of people who stayed in the faith since the days of Paul the Apostle. According to church history, he had the highest number of disciples, people who were converted and stayed in the faith. I think close to 80% that got born again. So he would go into the woods in a locality where he's ministering by 4 a.m. and pray to it. And most of his prayers were supplications and intercessions. And if you were there, you would hear him discussing with God. Now, naturally, if you are there in that prayer, you would think he's trying to persuade God, because that's how it sounds in place of prayer. But there's a wrestling going on in the spirit. And that wrestling is a wrestling that has to do with God needing somebody on the scene who will embody God in the situation, who will take on God's compassion for the lost and literally pray them into salvation one by one. Hence the length of time. Let me say it again. You have to understand that praying for long is not because it takes God long. It's because what you're dealing with spiritually are the souls and the will of men. So in that place of prayer, that man takes on. So let me use this phrase. God borrows that man because the earth has God given to the sons of men. So flesh and blood has to pray. Say amen. For flesh and blood. The same reason why God had to become a man. So God became a man to die for man, to pay the price for man, so he could save men. So a man will now pray in the light of the price that has been paid, so that what God wants to happen will happen, because men have a will. So the man is praying, and you hear him asking questions like, God, you don't think, I hope it's not that you think that we are not going to have revival here. If you hear that conversation, you think it's trying to persuade God, but really it's about persuading men. It's about removing every barrier and boundary that is stopping men from receiving God as Savior. Because the tragedy of life is that though God is Savior, many men will still go to hell because they never encountered Him as Savior. So Paul is saying the reason why we supplicate is that we're praying that men may come to the knowledge of the truth. You know there are good men on the earth. When I say good, morally good. Have you had a friend before who is probably from the other faith? You know what I mean, the other faith. And you think this person is really nice. Really kind. This person is so good. There's no reason why this person should go to hell. In fact, if you're not careful, you start thinking logically. If God is really a good God, is he going to just watch? I have news for you. He's not watching. In fact, if anybody is watching between you and God, it is you that is watching. Because he put provision in place. He told you to pray. You are not praying. You are saying, I've got to go. You can see this is a good man. This man does not deserve. You don't understand how spiritual things work. How do they work? God will have all men to be saved. That's enough motivation to pray. He said all men. So, from the kidnapper, to the ritualist, to the occultist. If it was up to you, you won't leave the door open for them. But God said he will have all men to be saved. And to come to the knowledge of truth. What's truth? That God is Savior. Hallelujah. So, God will now require you and I to stand in the gap, to pray. Now, standing in the gap means that you are now making what God has made available to this world spiritually. Opening up their hearts, opening up their will, so that what God has made available can come to pass. We're looking at praying God's will. And though we're laying foundation today, I need us to understand, because where we're going really ultimately is that I want you to get to a place, because this year, listen carefully. There's some things you're going to lay hold of spiritually by the grace of God. When you step into it, there will be no room to envy another person's progress. You will know you are in your lane, you are in your line. You know you are handling what God has divinely apportioned for you to have. When you step into it, listen to what I'm about to say. Some things you are not praying for will come your way. It will start coming your way supernaturally. When I was praying, I meditated, the Spirit of God said, that's what I meant when I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things shall be added. He's not saying seek things by the back door. You know by the back door. I just face God. Then those things will be added. That's what we're saying. He's saying, for every time you connect with divine will, because divine will, provisions are there. Because you just eat it right. Now, that is better than you forming your will and saying, God, come and bless it. There will be struggle. The things God wants you to enter into, which you will in the place of personal devotion, because he wants to fine tune. Now, in the place of service, which is what we're looking at now, praying God's riches, we're looking at it first of all. What is God's plan of salvation for how many? For all men. So, I'm in local assembly, I join the prayer team, I join the prayer discussion, I join the prayers, I'm praying. My prayers are not selfish, not about me. I'm praying. I'm so used to praying. God trusts me. And because God trusts me, there are things God is communicating to my heart. I recognize his voice. Because whenever God can trust somebody with the soul of others, his voice becomes distinct in your heart. Hallelujah. He's moving you from give me prayers, elementary prayers, to take responsibility as a son. Share my compassion for the lost. Share my compassion for fellow believers who are not in the way or who have strayed away. And as you pray that way, there are things that God will supernaturally move you into. You begin to stand in your place because now you are ready for responsibility. And let me say something. When you become responsible, more resources are committed to you. Because responsibility means your focus is not on the resources. Your focus is what? On the assignment you are given. Resources are a reward because of responsibility. That's the truth of the matter. I was discussing with some ministers, and they were saying, if you know anything about commercial flights and what invitations that some ministers have, you will know that private jet is not a luxury. I know it's not. It's Nigerian poverty mindset that makes you think it's a luxury. It's not a luxury. It's not a luxury. You know, going from one meeting to the other in certain localities and going by helicopter, it's not a luxury. It's called convenience. You escape traffic. You go in fresh, really fresh. You have 5 minutes in one single day. And 3 of them are in different states. How do you get there? If you're on the road, you'll be worn out. And you can't possibly make it. You go by commercial flight, the airlines cancel flight. You are standing in one airport. And you have a meeting another the next day. How exactly are you going to do it? So the more responsibility is committed onto you, the more resources are given onto you for convenience, not for luxury. And at that stage, you are not moved by the resources. Your heart is in the responsibility. I'll be doing something. Your heart is in the work, the assignment. That's what God is after. But the basis is this. We're looking at the fundamental principles when it comes to we're praying the will of God. What is the will of God? He will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. How will it happen? There must be prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. Because fundamentally, that is how God operates on the surface of the... That's just... It's a fundamental way of God. So, wishing things will happen without prayer is wishful thinking. You will never get the job done. The job will never be done. God has to raise someone to pray. In order for the hand of God, so to speak, to move. In order for the will of God to be done. Somebody has to be praying. That's the way God designed the heart to be. Somebody has to pray. Hallelujah. Somebody has to pray. Ezekiel 22 verse 13. See what it says. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, and I should not destroy it, but I found none. Notice. Now, remember in the Old Testament, the language of the scriptures, which is passive, God is spoken of in the active sense, even when it's passive. So when it says, I sought for a man active among them that should make up the edge and stand guard before me for the land. Notice the language. You already know God. Say God is a savior. Say God is a savior. Okay, so that I should not destroy it, but I found not. So let me ask you a question. If I'm looking for a man in the land that will make up the edge means there's a gap, isn't it? That needs to be filled. And I did not find, but I'm looking for so that I will not destroy it. Does that show intent to destroy or intent to save? Thank you. So it's very clear in the prophecy. It's because I intend to save, I'm looking for a man. If I'm the one that will destroy, I will excuse men. I will look for no one. I just take the first opportunity. But notice what it says, that I should not destroy, but I found none. Look at next verse. Therefore, have I poured out my ignition upon them? I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, their own way. Okay, so the last part explains what it means by my indignation and the fire of my wrath. You need to read contextually. So notice, their own way. Have I recompensed means I have allowed the consequence of their actions to come to them. So my indignation, fire of my wrath, is simply an explanation for the consequence of their what? Action. So it's not God being active. He's saying, I wanted to be active. There was no prayer cover for my activity. Because when I'm active, you will see mercy. You won't see judgment. Let me say that again. When I'm active, what you will see is what? Mercy, not judgment. So when mercy is absent, wrath is made manifest. What's wrath now? Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads. Their own way. Their own way means the consequences of their actions, the things they've done, the wickedness they have, men's wickedness is so strong, it actually even affects weather patterns in the land. That's how terrible wickedness can be. Wickedness is spiritual activity. It even affects weather patterns. So, their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, but I sought for a man among them. So I looked for somebody that will stand in the gap. I looked for somebody that will ensure that my mercy works. In other words, it's not just because Jesus died and rose that God is seeking for men. Today, the difference is that he has more men than before. So the principle has always been the same. I sought for a man among them. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Or I sought therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, and intercessions be made for all men. Why? Because God is a savior. And because God is a savior, his saving ability will not come to light. But if somebody is found what? Praying. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I just follow closely. And as we build up, and we trust God and see 2 Corinthians 10, look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to what? The pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and what? Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, yes, describing spiritual warfare is describing the rule of thoughts. And where does that come into play in what we are discussing? Go with me, put your hand up. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, I read from verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But for he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and toss. Look at that illustration. The one who wavers, where is he wavering? He's wavering in his asking. Notice, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and toss. When you see the phrase, driven with the wind, is referring to doctrine. Let's read further. Verse 7. For let no man that think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. For a double-minded man. Okay, so the wavering is a function of being double-minded. Double-minded means there is more than one concept on the inside. There's more than one thought on the inside with respect to. Let him ask of God that gives to all men. So there is a doctrinal persuasion or conflict on the inside with respect to how does God give? Does he give all the time? And when he gives, in what manner does he give? There's an issue. He now says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For the one that wavers like wave of sea, driven with the wind. What's the wind? Double-mindedness. Having more than one conviction or more than one persuasion about what God will do in a given situation. Notice, let not a man think he shall receive anything. So in the place of prayer, my thinking plays a huge role in my reception. Let him not think. Let him not think. My thinking plays a huge role in my reception. Let him not think. So what does God do? He does something about my thinking by sending me his word. He does something about my thinking by sending me his word. In 1 Timothy that we just read, verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4, we say, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what deals with the thinking. He will that all men be saved. And after you're saved, you should also want come to the knowledge of the truth. That is what undoes your thinking. What is knowledge of truth? Again, I will look at. Now, God is a savior. Amen. That God is a savior. That's knowledge of the truth. That God is a savior. So to all intents and purposes, in a given situation, where there's calamity or difficulty or problem or a challenge, what will God do? God will save. Now, that salvation will not necessarily mean somebody getting born again. It may be somebody getting delivered, somebody getting rescued, somebody getting healed. It's the same character of God. Somebody needs to receive salvation or healing or deliverance or divine assistance. That is God's disposition. But the one who is praying, his reception is affected by the way he thinks. He says, let not a man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. So what's the cure for double-mindedness? The knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge of God's word. So that's why Paul says, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. To the pulling out of strongholds, casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing. So what's the definition of a high thing now? Anything that presupposes that God is less than who he says he is. Anything that opposes that when I pray, God may answer, I may not answer. Anything that attacks God's character as Savior is called a high thing. So, it's a high thing in light of the fact that it is contravening the truth about God and his ability to save is called a high thing. Cast my imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ or to that saving knowledge of God available in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me say this again. The scope or our capacity in the place of prayer is determined or undermined by the knowledge we have received. That's why James says that let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. What is the faith? That God gives. He gives lavishly. He gives to every man. And God does not find fault. Now, you may not know that God doesn't find fault. Because you find fault. And because you find fault in the place of prayer, you finding fault now becomes a high thing. Amen. It becomes a high thing. Let me say it this way. When you mess up, you know God is much more gentle with you than you are with yourself. If we put you in your own courtroom, you do terrible things. If he put you before a judge, and that judge is you, do you know the kind of judgment you render yourself? Things that God has never thought before. You'll be shouting, crucify, crucify, and you are talking about yourself. When David misbehaved, and the prophet went to David, and used a parable to tell David what God was saying, it was parable he was using, it was David was saying. You know what David said? Where is the man? And I'm king. I'm here. I'm king. Where is the man? As I live, he shall die. And the prophet said that, it is you, O king. David said, yes, it's you. Because the description that the parable gave was so bad. A rich man, he has many animals. A poor man, having just one. The rich man now took that one when his guest came and slaughtered. He said, he did that. The prophet tried to let him know with the wisdom of God that is how what you did looks in heaven. But the prophet now said, but God has taken away your sin. But what did David say? Surely he shall die. So you are ushering yourself. And the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing. Does God correct me? Yes. Do I do wrong? Yes. Does God rebuke me? Yes. Does he find fault? No. That's two different things. That means he's not holding anything against you. But you're holding things against yourself, which can hinder you in place of prayer. Say God is a good father. How many of you are parents and because your child misbehaves, you refuse to give them food? Have you noticed that you remove food from the equation? You give the food. But as in, food is not a negotiable matter. You still give the food and you believe you're a good parent. How much more God? There's none of you here who said that way because you didn't do what I told you. I will not pay your school fees. You will pay the school fees. You know, interesting. Even in those days when our mothers used to be a bit on the harsh side, and they are those mothers who refuse to give their children food. If you really go and check them very well, they are the ones who are feeling the pain of not giving you food. So the child has not come out of the room since morning. What's he doing inside that room? Go and check. They go there with a very stern face. Meanwhile, he's really concerned. Well, hey. You start thinking, have I not gone too far like this? Tell me, come here. What are you inside that room? Tell me, he's acting like he's still very stern. Meanwhile, he's concerned. Let me at least be seeing the face. I hope everything's fine. You are the one doing the punishment. You are the one suffering. Now, God doesn't find fault. And God wants all men to be saved. And it says, cast now imaginations and every eye thing. Because the knowledge of God, listen carefully, helps you in the place of prayer. Removes limitations and barriers when it comes to receiving. Let another man think he shall receive. So the reception is a problem. You have barriers on the inside that hinder you, makes you think God will not respond or answers will not come in this particular area. Those barriers must be removed. And the way they are removed is that you bring them into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ, which is what God has done in Christ, which is a revelation of God's character. Everything must be scrutinized in that light. If anything doesn't match up, you jettison it. You cast it aside. You bring it down. That's not consistent with the truth of scriptures. That's not consistent with the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Let him ask in faith. Nothing doubting. Nothing wavering. For the one that wavers like a wave of the sea is driven with the thoughts that come to his heart. So his thinking has repositioned him. He's not able to receive all that God has made available for him. Ezekiel 22 that we just read, God said, I sought for a man. So, and the man God is seeking for is not perfect. The The man that God is seeking for has righteousness on credit. And God says, I still need that man who knows me, who knows what I do, who knows I'm a God of mercy, to come to pray so that my mercy can be made manifest in a given situation. So what's God's will in every situation? Mercy. Mercy. How men can be rescued, how they can be helped. Look at Genesis. Genesis 18. Let's look at one righteous man. Say God is a father. Before we go to Genesis, let's just read Matthew first, Matthew 6. And it's interesting. When God became a man, he taught prayer in a very interesting way. Look at what he said about prayer. When God was manifest in the flesh, I'm going to read from verse 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. It says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy father which is in secret. And thy father which is seeth in secret shall reward thee where? Openly. And so I said this in my notes. I said, precious time spent in private communion will lead to public displays of approval. Precious time spent, this is that we're in private communion will lead to public displays of divine approval. Precious time spent. You can even apply this scripture to God. He that walketh with wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's Proverbs 13:20. So it's precious time spent in private communion with God will lead to public displays of divine approval. In other words, power will show forth on the outside. It's just a matter of time. Power will show forth on the outside. It's just a matter of time. Even if you don't want it, it will show. Because of the time you have spent, invested. It says, so you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut the door, or when you're in privacy, pray to your father which is in secret, and your father which is in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, notice, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Notice the B part for the thing. Can you say thinking again? Imagination. They think they shall be heard. Where does that knowledge come from? That's their understanding of God. They think it is not speaking that persuades God. So they are starting with the wrong premise. They think God needs to be persuaded. That's the first problem. You think in prayer we persuade God. Without understanding that, we pray because we are persuaded about what God wants to do. So notice, they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your father knoweth. And this has puzzled a lot of people. Your father knoweth what things you have need of before you what? Ask him. So there's an answer, which is why there's a question. Let me say it again. It's because there's an answer that questions arise in the hearts of men. Now what God does that, he provides the answer before you discover there's a question. Amen. Let me say it another way. It's because there's a provision that a particular lack came up. God does not minister provision commensurate to the lack. There's provision before lack came up. So there's a plan of salvation before man ever sinned. So salvation is not a reaction. So God's provision is never a reaction to your lack. It's a provision that was made before you ever encountered lack. Hallelujah. Now, as simple as what I said is, if you learn to pray without understanding, all you'll be seeing, let me give you an illustration. I think it's Genesis 21. Probably one of those chapters you usually skip. What are the famous chapters in Genesis? 12, 13. How many of you have read 12 and 13 before? 15, 17, 22. Isaac on the But 21. Sarah told Abraham, This Ishmael is mocking my son. I mean, I'm not a mother, so send both of them away. And Abraham was reluctant to send them away. But God supported Sarah. Very interesting. When God supports your wife, and God says, listen to your wife. Wow. And that's because Abraham had prayed about Ishmael before, when God was talking to him about Isaac, when he didn't have any, it was only Ishmael. And God was telling him, after you are like, how old now? Like 99. God's saying that. The child that will come from your own bowel, not this Ishmael, shall be said. It's okay, I understand. Just let Ishmael live in your sight. And God said, I'll bless Ishmael, don't worry. The prince will come from me. So after Isaac was born, Sarah told her to go in. And then they ran out of water, and there was in the wilderness. And the child began to cry. And the Agar put him at a distance so that he won't see the child die from starvation, from thirst in the wilderness. And then when the child was crying, the angel of God appeared and spoke from heaven. And God has said he cried the child. God opened the eye of Agar to a well that was where the child was crying, but the well was there. The cry did not make the well appear. The cry made their eyes open to the well that was. Do you understand? Now, on the earth, that's the principle God functions by. Provisions are made before you ever came on the scene. That's the principle behind. Look at the flowers of the field and the lilies. Are they not much more clothed? If God should care for the leaves and the birds, who toil under that discipline? Shall he much more clothe you, O ye of what? Little faith. What's little faith? Not knowing that provisions precede the need. Hallelujah. Provisions always precede the need. Always. Always precede the need. John D. Lake, months after he was led by God to resign from his work, he was a very successful insurance salesman. Now, if you know, in this of John D. Lake, his year's income is $80,000. Let me tell you what that means today. $80,000 in the early 1900s is like 80 million per year today, minimum. That was his income. He was a wealthy man. He was an insurance person. He was making a lot of money. Then there was tremors in his heart. He got dissatisfied. I needed to leave it and go to the mission field. So he sold everything. Now, this happened months. So he began to pray as he was praying. Now, God who said go to the mission field, what was he praying about? To narrow down where he should go. So one day when he was praying, God showed him he would be in South Africa. Listen carefully. Not just in South Africa. He showed him the area in South Africa he must go to. That means there's even a specific area. That means that area, listen carefully, in eternity past, you are the one he was allocated to. I hope you understand. So God now showed him where he was meant to go. And that this is the area where your ministry will function in South Africa. So he sold everything. They had just enough money, he and his family, to sail down to the place. The first miracle they saw God's provision work was a woman was waiting as they docked. And she was asking around, looking for a missionary. She was waiting at the dock. He's like, somebody waiting for you at the airport. You are going to land. You don't know anybody there. You don't know where you're going to live. You don't have enough money. And you have about 5 children. I mean, they don't know that kind of family plan. But because today now, school fees is a very effective family planning method. School fees will plan for you when you're not planning. Just plan you. Now, so a woman was waiting at the airport. Sorry, at the ship. And when she met John Lake, said that you are so and so, you have so no man. She said, yes, God told me that I should give you a house. You prayed. God said, go. The one that said, go, has prepared somebody there for you, waiting. And that is consistent with everything that God does. He has prepared a place. Before children of Israel entered Canaan land, he said, by the time you enter into land, into houses you never built, and lands you didn't farm. I don't know if you understand. Before he takes you there, he has made one provision. Your job is not to pray for provision. It's to see provision. That it was prepared. That's faith. Except you went to a different land. That's faith we're talking about. So, he got there and there was a woman waiting. A house was prepared for them. They didn't have to pay rent one day. Because God has gone what? Ahead of them. Praise God. That's what it means to be in sync with God's will. Your father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Means that your praying is not to inform God. Your praying is to find out what God has prepared. It's not to inform God. It's not that God doesn't know what is in your heart, or maybe it's like God does not even know that I have this need. No, he does. So he knows what you have need of before you ask him. Is this is where you seek God as father. You must know he knows what you have need of before you ask. Before you ask means that he has made provision. So how will you get to the provision? Look at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, or because of this aspect about God that you must understand, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where? On earth. As it is in heaven. So the will of God, as it is in God's heart, as it is member of the Spirit, all you are doing is that you are praying for it to be what? Manifest. But provisions are waiting. The assignment is there. What to do is already what? There. The same way you are praying for souls to be saved, God already wills for them to be saved. He made provision for them to be saved. You are just praying for the salvation to manifest by men receiving. You're not doing anything extra. Your prayer is just to make sure men work. When we are praying concerning Sunday meeting, Holy Ghost meetings, what are we praying about? That men will be blessed, they will be refreshed. We're not praying, oh God, bless them. You see, he has moved. We're praying the supply of this with that men. So our primary prayer always have to be with men receiving. Men receiving, men receiving, men receiving. So we're taking the power of God, which is for blessing men, that men may what? Receive. So men really are the fulcrum of our prayers, that their hearts will be open. Look at that first prayer in Ephesians, that the eyes of your understanding be what? Enlightened. So if God is going to do anything, God, open the eyes of this man that he may see. Open the heart of this man that he may know what you have done. That's the emphasis. Your heavenly Father know it, you have need of these things. He know it. And I'm praying for people when it comes to issue of marital, setting them maritally. If I'm going to ask God, God, give her spouse, give him spouse, give her spouse. Will the person be born today? You just saying, oh God, give, oh God, give, oh God, give. No. No, no, no. Because I am persuaded that the person's wife or husband, potentially, is also praying for him somewhere, for that person. So my job is, since God has provided husband or wife, whose eyes have not seen you. Do you know how many stories I've heard as a pastor that somebody's husband-to-be, is discussing with the wife-to-be, asking her to help toast her friend? You don't know we should pray that whose eyes will be open. I'm telling you, your wife is here. You are commonized. You are pointing to somebody taller than you. Because they are still, the person is so close, you are not recognizing that the answer is already, okay, tell me, where did Eve come from? Was she also not with the garden with Adam? It's not where he was. Did you have to leave the garden to go and find Eve? Your partner is around you. I'm just being sincere. Everything Adam needed was inside the garden. He was inside the garden. He just loved recognition and next comes operation. Just love what? Recognition. Just recognize. And that's sometimes a challenge. Illustration I just give now is a story of a man of God I know. So I was asking the person eventually married. I like that Afghan girl. She is your friend. You hear me, toaster? Tell her I'm a good person. I know the woman I'm living. I'm here. I know she even helped him. She even helped him. So I mean, as well, she said, she even helped him. It's okay. That one, you know, I'll talk person. But that one gives him terms and conditions. And he was already committed to ministry. That one said, well, no problem. You know what? I'm going back to UK after school. So I will leave there, I'll be doing work. And this ministry thing, you had one girl called in coming. So you can stay here. You'll be visiting back and forth. That was eh? Yeah, you're going back and forth. Can come in maybe once or twice or four times a year. Say, eh? That's when he knew that this is not the will of God. Now, so the woman is praying patiently, praying, and you're also praying. And when you're praying, what God does, it opens your eyes to see what you couldn't see before. That the dream woman that you wanted is the one standing by your side. I hope you understand. That's what God does. That's not when God will drop a man from heaven. You just come. Adonis. Just show up. Not six packs, nine. Nine packs, just showed up. No, 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 no. Because your eyes are not open to see that. The person is already what? Available. So when I pray, I'm not going to petition God and say, God, oh God, oh God. No, no. It's about, Father, may the eyes of this person be open. May their steps be ordered and their paths to cross supernaturally. Because they also sincerely want to meet. They just haven't seen. I hope you understand. Yeah. So a woman that is praying somewhere, she's the answer to somebody's earnest what? Prayer. She's the answer to somebody's earnest prayer. I remember on campus, there was somebody I was interested in. I still know today that it was just God that just saved me. Just look at me like, yeah, this young man. But it's okay. But let me just, because, you know, it was so strange that why I knew I would have missed God was that the person eventually has exactly the same body as my wife, the same age. And except God wants to marry two women. Is that her or not? If there's no other, and I was just delivered. My eyes just opened. That's what God did. Because the person I did was already close to me, I didn't recognize. That's what God does when it comes to those kind of prayers. So I'm just trying to say something that the provisions precede the need. They always do. Your Father knows those things you have need of before you, and to know means he has made provisions. In a place of prayer, what does he do? He opens your eyes to the provision. That's what he does. He just opens your eyes. He doesn't do anything extra. He just opens your eyes to the provision. While you're praying, Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. So it's already done in heaven. Let it be now done where? On earth. That means you are praying a prayer that aligns with his plan, with purposes. You are praying in faith because you know that God has moved already. And all you are saying is that what you have done, let it be made what? Manifest. Glory to God. If you've ever functioned in the spirit of sin and knowing, if you function in that operation as a minister, you will see that many times before you go for a meeting, you will see some things before the meeting takes place. You will see some things that will happen in the meeting. Whatever God is showing you in that meeting has been done in heaven. When you get to the meeting, you manifest on earth. I ministered to people that were instantly healed because God showed me before I got in place that this person, I even saw where they were sitting in the meeting. I saw the cases. Because already settled in heaven. So my job was to what? Be the hand of God in that meeting. I just called out those cases. Ministered some of them. The way God told me to minister to them. Because it's already done. Now, God already has made provision. In the place of prayer while I was praying, oh God, this meeting, I'm praying for the people, I'm praying to be received. As I prayed the will of God, which is for the people to receive, began to show me those that will receive, how they will receive. The cases he has already dealt with. Hallelujah. He has already dealt with. There are cases he has already dealt with. So, we go into prayer knowing God is more than willing. You know, interestingly enough, that's actually how I got married. I didn't struggle to pray for provisions. I just knew God was more interested in me getting married successfully than I was interested in marriage. So, I didn't need to say, oh God, money, oh God, money. My own son has never prayed, oh daddy, pay now. All he does is, thank you for the payment. Thank you for this, thank you for that. Or he's a mom. I'm mommy, thank you for the thing. That's what. But then I go, oh, please. Oh, mommy, most I. No. Because some of us think that by calling God titles, he said we just swell. You are thinking like a man. No. What makes God head swell? If it's possible for a God's head swell, is to acknowledge that provisions are already waiting. Hallelujah. Our Father is responsible. And he's a good Father. Hallelujah. He's a good father. Your Father knows what things you have need of before. Oh, I pray that this thing is your prayer life. Before you ask him. You're praying for your children that they will marry well, they will marry right. God is more interested in them marry well and marry right. So what God does is direction in place of prayer. And so that when you're praying that way, he says, this is what I want you to pray for instead. Because that's the answer to the prayer I'm praying. I made provision for this. Now, you pray this way instead. You are praying the Father's will at that point because it's not directing that. This is how I want you to pray instead. The prayer point you're praying is good. This is the answer to that prayer. Pray this way. Why are you praying? So that what he has prepared can come to light. Praise God. It can come to light. That's what he has prepared something. In every situation, you can't catch God off guard. If I want to use Gen Z language, you can't catch God on fresh. God is always fresh. Always on point. So there's something like maybe you caught him, he wasn't present. I didn't see that possibility. There's something like that. It's called the many-sided wisdom of God that takes care of every possible situation. This is our God. Hallelujah. It's our God. So being not like unto them, your Father already knew it. So how should you pray? Our Father which are in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That means you can't stop being who you are. You are consistent. So hallowed be your name means that your reputation is intact. It doesn't change, doesn't fluctuate. So we reverence you in the light of your character, your reputation, because you never change. Hallowed be your name. And what is your name? Remember, 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, it's God our Savior, isn't it? That's his name. He saves. He comes to our head. Look at the next verse. Thy kingdom come. And thy kingdom is the expression of your will on earth as it is where? In heaven. And where is that kingdom today? In our hearts. So as we pray, the will of God in heaven is done where? On earth. That's the kingdom. The will of God in heaven is done on earth. Or you and I are the extensions of the invisible to the visible. The will of God in heaven is done on earth. That's why I usually see this picture in my consciousness. Every man who is praying scripturally, particularly praying the spirit, you have just become a conduit for the invisible to become visible. A measure of the invisibility, which is God's provision, to become visible. That's what you have become as you are praying the spirit. In whatever gathering, whether alone or in twos or in fours in fives, you have become a conduit for the unseen to become what? Seen. When you are praying, the will of God. So the will of God is there. But as we pray with the understanding. Let him ask in faith. What is faith? God gives. He is always willing to give. He gives more liberally. He doesn't find fault. What happens to your thinking? The knowledge of the truth saves you from thinking that God is holding back or that God may not answer. Somebody called me yesterday, 2 days, nights ago, and the man just was crying and crying and crying on the phone. I first told her, stop weeping. The situation looked like it was an impossible one. And the counsel I gave her did not make sense. But sometimes when you know God, you can speak that way. I said, it's a new year. It's a new beginning. I know it looks serious. So, but my counsel is this. This weeping will not produce results. I need to calm down, go and sleep. So between now and tomorrow, God will take care of it. Coming 24 hours later, laughing on the phone. If you see the weeping the night before, you feel like you're a wicked person, we don't weep with her. My weeping with you will not change. You better be in a good place to give people God's word and God's counsel. I said, this weeping will not solve this matter. He said, it will not solve the matter. So what will solve the matter is, be still and know, I'm God. I'll be exalted. Hallelujah. I'll be exalted above all the contrary thoughts. So a lot of images, because the crying you're crying now, images are flashed across your mind. You know, when some we hear news, images now go, you see images that even God has not thought of. You have gone far. If you say that, it's thinking, educate me more. Wow. So those are even things we could have done, we have not even done. These people are creative people. You have seen the scenarios already. We've not even thought that far. We only did this one. We're like, okay, we're just like, it's like there are 7 ways now that we can move. I said, tonight, stop crying. I said, now, give God thanks and go to bed. And next day she's calling. Pastor, Papa, thank you. I said, the person that wasn't dying. I died day before. Hallelujah. Be still and know. Once there's confusion everywhere and everything's going upside down, listen, if they give me quick notice tonight, I say by tomorrow morning, leave this house. I first thank you that you can say I can stay tonight. Thank you. God bless your family. I can sleep tonight. Because 24 hours is too long for God to turn things around. If you know this father that we have, the first thing you realize that the person that said that thing to you, God knew they would say it. And he has a counter plan. Which your tears will stop you from seeing. I'm sincere with you. Your tears will not make you see it. It should not make you see it. Because the next thing when you give those kind of tears room is mommy and complaining. I don't know what's happening. They even said this year, Sawayo overflow. It's like a dam. I'm already blocked. What's even happening? This is how this... You are seeing things that is going to have... Because you have entered mommy's face. And the Bible says, do all things without murmuring and complaining. You've already started murmuring. And what that is doing is cutting you off from what God has what? Made available. Because God is saying that, is my hand now too short? I cannot save or deliver again. I can still help right, even now. I can still help even now. And that's why people say sometimes when opposition comes your way, it's an opportunity for divine advancement. For some of us, if opposition doesn't come, you will not move in the next phase. You will not know there's a new phase and a better phase. It will take opposition to make some of us realize. God will not organize it, but God will allow it. Hopefully, hoping that you have the right response in that situation so you can move it to something far better. Because you are too comfortable. You are too comfortable. Ask Joseph. Every dream that Joseph had, he will bow to you. You are happy. You submit. You are happy. But you love your father's coat of many colors. Your father, you are your father's best friend. Your father calls you every morning. Joseph, my dear son. You don't know that that dream you just had, for it to come to pass, he must pursue you. Your father's place. But if God tells you that one before, you say never, never. You say never. And God knows this dream can't come to pass inside your father's house. It cannot. It cannot. So, until you get to that point, say, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Why would you be able to say that? I know my father knows what things I have need of before I ask him. I know. He knows what things I have need of before I ask him. So I'm bold to say, let your will be done and let your kingdom come. I'm bold to say that in place of prayer. Yeah, that's what we're going to be doing this year. Say amen. Yeah. Individually. Because increase is coming, though. You know, seldom have I said in meetings, like I said this last year, that money is coming your way. You know, I said so. I'm not talking about small money, so. And I'm trusting God to give me guidance and instructions concerning how to pray for some specific individuals among us. And I've seen what God wants to do. That you're going to be a steward of a lot of resources. And the prayer is that you will stand firm, you will be well positioned, and you are not going to derail. Hallelujah. Yes. Because it's time, that is what is happening. From this time, that this year, next 5 years or more, we have entered the age of the church. So some supernatural things are happening. Positions taking over, you know, resources and businesses were in that season. Hallelujah. I'm talking about people that will sit upon billions and they will come in church. Not the one that will be telling those who are parking. Are you parking my car? Does this car look like a physics place? No. That will be calm, that they will not know that you have that. Because your heart is in the right place. Hallelujah. That's what we're looking at. I'm already excited about the season. Hallelujah. Yes. So I'm just trusting you and looking to him for the blueprint concerning how to navigate and how to raise a number of us into some of those things that God has prepared for us. But it's a season where as you stay in the place of fellowship and you commune with him, he will give you thoughts, he will grant you ideas and instructions. And as you follow those things, it's amazing what will happen on the outside. Of course, you know I'm talking about more men and women. Amen. It's amazing the things that will happen on the outside. And there's this acceleration and fast outcomes that's going to take place. If I still remember that at the beginning of this, was it not beginning? Not even today. He spoke to me that between and June, they will not recognize themselves. When it comes to the increase that will come, as a business person, when it comes to where you will be between now and June, it will shock you. It will amaze you. When it comes to the blessing of God and resources of God, it will totally amaze you. Some will be in thousands of dollars in your accounts. Yeah, the increase that God is bringing your way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we are getting our hearts ready, and I want you to spend quality time in your devotion, in your personal prayer. Don't take personal prayer lightly now, because now you need to hear in the secret place more and more what he has to say to you. And that's one of the reasons why, don't be surprised that distractions are increasing. It is to take you away, because that's the only place where you can hear. So you have to now, nobody needs to be telling you now, pray every day, read your Bible, pray every day. You need to do it now. We've tried to make it easy for you by sending prayer alert every morning and sending you an exhortation to stir you up so that you can look at the scriptures and your heart can be focused on God and make sure you are praying in the spirit on a daily basis because of the things God has said he was to do. Zechariah chapter 10 says, ask ye of the Lord rain anytime we want rain. This is a peculiar rain that is falling. And when you're asking him in the season of rain, Bible says he will make dry clouds and give to every man showers in the field. Okay, he will give showers to everyone that is grass in the field. So there's some things that will fall upon you now because of the season we're in, because that is the time for such things to happen. But you hear those things as you spend time to pray. And your spending time to pray also means because of the written word, which shows you the character of God. When you hear the spoken word from his mouth, you recognize this is something that God is saying, so that there's room for doubt. Doubt is, I don't know whether it's God on my mind, or I don't know whether it's God or something. No, you will know that it is your Father telling you to do so. Glory to God. So the written word tells you what God is capable of doing. The spoken word tells you exactly what he's asking you to do. Both are necessary. The written word for recognizing whose voice is speaking. The spoken word, what exactly you should do. What business venture, what opportunity to take up, what door to knock. So it's a combination of the two, the written and the spoken. In the spoken, that's where prosperity is. Hallelujah. Believe the Lord your God shall be established. Believe his word, prophets, so shall you prosper. 2 Chronicles 20:20. When you say, believe his prophets, you can put it this way, believe the prophecies or inspired utterances. And what will happen? You will prosper. You will prosper. That's the season we're in. And I know none of us will be left behind in the name of Jesus. Well, let's stand to our feet and give him thanks tonight. Glory to your name forever. Hallelujah.